Tonight, let's get in the Word of God over in the book of Mark once again. This tonight will be more or less a springboard for the thought and the message tonight in the book of Mark chapter number 11. I read the entire text this morning. It's a wonderful text. The account is given in all four Gospels. But this is the only gospel where it made mention of the place where two ways meet. The Bible said here in Mark chapter number 11 and in verse number 4, and they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. If God will help me tonight, I want to preach for a little while tonight. We preached this morning on the place where two ways meet in light of salvation. Tonight, I want to preach on the place where two ways meet in light of temptation. If you and I could understand tonight as God's people that every time we're tempted, there are two ways meeting right there. And I'll show it to you in the Bible tonight. Amen. How many believes we're tempted? I don't care if you've been saved 50 years. Amen. We're still in this world. We're still in this flesh. We're still in a battle. Amen. And I want to preach a little while tonight. And I don't know, maybe I'll get done tonight. Maybe I won't. We may be Wednesday night on this thought too. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. But anyway, in the hour of temptation, the place where two ways meet. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us tonight, Lord, through the scripture. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd continue to deal in hearts. I have every reason to believe, Lord, that you're dealing in hearts about salvation. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd help us in our heart tonight as we deal with this area of temptation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, this morning, just real fast, we had several things to talk about in the message. And the first thing was someone was sent to the place where two ways meet. The disciples were sent. Zechariah foretold of this place where two ways meet. Someone knew the way to the place. Jesus said unto them, told them how to get there, where two ways meet. Something was found, the colt. He said, you're going to find a colt at the place where two ways meet. Something was tied. We saw this morning that the colt was tied at that place where two ways meet. And then something was loosed at that place where two ways meet. And then we said someone will ask questions. Jesus knew that. He even foretold of that at the place where two ways meet. Someone has a need. Jesus knew the response of those at the place where two ways meet. There's a purpose discovered as a result of a place where two ways meet. And there's a blessing to be gained from the place where two ways meet. I thank God tonight that in 1987, February the 22nd, sitting on the front bench at Landmark Baptist Church, there were two ways that met right there that night. There was a heavenly way and an earthly way met right there. That night, the earthly way gave way to the heavenly way. There was man's way that gave way to God's way. The guilty way gave way to the grace way. The dark way gave way to the light way, to the bright way, just as it did in the life of the Apostle Paul. And tonight, I want to get into this light in the hour of temptation, looking at this place where two ways meet, in light of the hour of temptation. I don't think we could start in a better place than to start with our Lord over there in the Bible in the book of Luke chapter number 4. Start there with me tonight, please. We're going to see tonight that as Jesus walked the face of the earth, Jesus was the God-man. The Bible said that God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. But Jesus as a man was tempted Somebody help me tonight. In all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Now, Hollywood wants to paint the temptation of Jesus in a light and in a manner that is not scriptural. To have Jesus hanging on the cross, lusting after a woman, is not scriptural. There's not one ounce of scripture to support that. But Jesus, in this temptation, we're going to see in the Bible, is going to be faced with three categories of temptation. And every temptation that you and I come under will fall under one of these three categories. It's either the lust of the flesh, or it's the pride of life, or it's the lust of the eyes. Somebody help me tonight. And everything that Jesus is going to experience right here, that's what we're going to see. The Bible, I want to read from the Word of God tonight. The Bible said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we know tonight that when we give in to the lust of the flesh, when we give in to the pride of life, when we give in to the lust of eyes, we're going the way of the world. Somebody help me tonight. That's not God's way. We're going the way of the world when we do that. Watch now in Luke chapter 4. I believe the secret to the whole thing, how in the world could Jesus stand up under all this, is found in verse number 1. The Bible said, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I'll tell you something tonight. We'll not deal near as much with temptation if we'd be full of the Holy Ghost and we'd be led of the Spirit. That's where we're falling short. Say amen. Now, beloved, listen. Jesus is ready. He's ready when the devil comes. Why? Because he's full of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he's being led of the Spirit. It reminds me the Old Testament scripture where that Abraham sent out his servant to seek out a bride for Isaac. You remember that? I love this statement in the Old Testament. He said, I, the servant, I believe is a type of the Holy Ghost. He said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what, if you'll just stay in the way, God will lead you. Amen. But much when we get out of the way that we get in trouble. Amen. And we're going to see that in the Bible. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The lust of the flesh. Verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil, in those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. You say, preacher, how do you know he was a man? Because he got hungry. How do you know he was God? He could take, glory to God, he could take two fishes and five loaves and feed 5,000 men beside the women and children. How do you know he was a man? He got tired. How do you know he's God? He's the one that said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Amen. We're looking at the God-man, and if you don't learn in Bible study to discern the difference between the two, you'll get in a heap of trouble. See, some people will say, well, he's not God, because the Bible said God cannot be tempted with evil. I want you to know tonight, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. And it was the man, Christ Jesus, that was tempted. Amen. Beloved, listen to me tonight. The lust of the flesh. And the devil said, if thou be the Son of God. You know that's where a lot of people are still living today. That's a big if. How many's here tonight say he is the Son of God? How many got rid of that if at the place where two ways meet? Glory to God. Yes, me, how I know he lives, Brother Ralph. He lives within my heart. Amen. That wasn't a dead somebody that come to me that night. That was someone that's very much alive and well. His name is Jesus. The Bible said here, thou be the Son of God. Command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him saying, I love this. Watch it now. We've looked at one thing already that's necessary if we're going to defeat temptation. That's the Spirit of God. Be full of the Holy Ghost, be led of the Spirit. The second thing is the Scripture. Jesus is going to say three times, it is written, it is written, it is written. I heard a man say this one time. He said you could go through the auditorium quoting Bible verses. He said the first person to stand up would say, Jesus wept. The next person would say, he got my verse.
We need to learn this Bible. Somebody help me tonight. I want to say to the young people, learn all of it you can while you're young. It gets harder to memorize when you get older. Amen. They used to memorize chapters in the Word of God. I'm doing good now to hide a verse here and a verse there in my heart. Amen. I'm not complaining tonight. I'm just saying I believe we need to remember now our Creator in the days of our youth. That's what the Bible teaches. Amen. And Brother Lance, it just come to me. That'd be something good to work on in the retreat, brother. Some Bible memory verses. I know you got a full plate, but thank God for the Bible. And Jesus said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Oh, beloved friend, Jesus is showing us here. He's out there in the wilderness, and the devil comes along. He's went without food for 40 days. He's fasted and prayed. He's at a place. You say, preacher, I don't understand the importance of that place where two ways meet in temptation. I'm going to tell you tonight, they wouldn't none of us be saved if it went wrong there. That's exactly right. And did you know something? If you and I would look at it just right, when we come to that place where two ways meet in temptation, beloved, there's somebody watching us. There's somebody hanging in the balance. Amen. There's somebody that's got confidence in you. There's somebody that got confidence in me. And we need to be careful at the place where two ways meet in temptation. The lust of the eyes. Look in verse number 5. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, the Bible said, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Beloved, you better be careful with the eyes. Because I'm telling you, the world's got a lot to show. Say amen. The devil's got a lot to show. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, Jesus is going to, my friend, be able to stand it. Why? Because of the Spirit. Why? Because of the Scripture. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I'll give it. If thou for thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. By the way, I've just never, never, ever seen a generation where so many people are coming out. I'm telling you, honey, it's rampant in the prisons. It's rampant in the cities. It's rampant in the country. Satan worship. People that are openly telling you that they're worshiping the devil. Jesus said, if you'll just fall down. The devil said, if you'll just fall down, Jesus, and worship me, I'll give you everything you just laid your eyes on. Jesus said, it is written. Watch what he said. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then you get into the pride of life. He brought him to Jerusalem. He set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in their hands. They shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. I remember when the Lord showed me that little verse right there. Jesus has experienced the temptation in the lust of the flesh, in the pride of life, in the lust of the eyes. He's experienced that temptation. The devil's saying, if you're the Son of God, then you can handle this. Just get up there and throw yourself down. Angels will take care of thee. But I tell you, Jesus said, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then he said this, the Bible said, the devil departed from him for a season. I'm not sure that we have record of anything going on like this again after this. But I do know this, according to what that verse said right there, he tried it again, and he tried it again, and he tried it again. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because for a season means for a space and time. And what that means is, how many's ever had victory, just great victory in your life? Say amen. And you thought, I'm on top of this. Thank God I'm free. Amen. And how many's ever turned around, there he was again? How many's ever disappointed the Lord again? And that's the way it goes. Because he's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. After that season, he will be back in light of the hour of temptation. The devil tempts us to do evil. Why does he do that? Because he wants to destroy us. That's exactly what he wants to do. He cannot destroy my soul, Brother Gale. So he wants to destroy my light and my testimony. He wants to snuff out my light. He wants to snuff out your light. We're living in a dark world. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. He doesn't want us to be salty. He wants the salt to lose its savor. He cannot have our soul if we've been born again. So he wants our testimony. He wants our life. He wants our light. He doesn't want us to be an influence. The tempting that the devil does is for us to do evil, that he might destroy us. What God does in our life is, my friend, it's a form of testing. And that's not to destroy us, but to develop us. And there is a difference. You remember this? The Bible said, remember the verse? The Bible said, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of the life, not of the Father. You remember when Jesus said, or the book of James, the Bible said, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. He said, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. You see, you got people out there that take the Bible and they'll say, well, look what it says right here. I'm going to show you what it says. The Bible said in Genesis 22:1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, let me just say this to you. God did not tempt Abraham to do evil. The word there is not talking about a solicitation to do evil. The word there is talking about a test. He tested Abraham. He tested. The Bible said something about the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth with fire. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, every once in a while, it'll come on the TV screen. It'll come across the radio. There'll be beep, beep, beep. This is a test. This is only a test. Had this been an actual emergency, you would have received instruction. You know what I'm talking about. Beloved, listen, God's people in this world, once in a while, are going to face a test that comes from God. And at the place where two ways meet, some people will be a better Christian and some people will be a bitter Christian. Joseph. Became a better man because he continued to walk with God. Joseph understood. Joseph understood. This is a test. Potiphar's wife was full of the devil. But it was a test. And he stood the test. Think about Job. The devil comes up in front of God in heaven. There he is again. Remember, we started right there this morning. There he is again. He's accusing Job. I'm paraphrasing now, but the devil's telling God, well, look how good you've been to him. Take all that away and he'll curse you. So he loses the family. He loses the farm. He loses his finance. He loses everything. And his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? He said, you speak as a foolish woman. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what he did? He passed the test. His three friends came. Them friends would be harder for me to pass that test than that other. He passes the test again. And God in chapter 42 gives him twice as much as he had in chapter 1. He was being tested. Job would tell you today if he could speak, hallelujah, I'm glad, thank God, in the hour of temptation, in the place where two ways meet, I went with God. I didn't go with my flesh. I was covered with boils from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I didn't go with my heart. My heart was breaking. I had buried 10 children. I didn't go with the things of this world. I lost it all. I'll tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully right here. A child of God will never lose it all. Never lose it all. May lose my home. May lose my health. May lose my finances. May lose my family. I pray to God I don't lose any of that. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's something that I have that I just can't lose. I'm on the winning side. I have a Savior. I have a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Thank God tonight. The Bible teaches us here, God will tempt us. He'll test us. And you know something? If we would only see this tonight, when God told Abraham to take Isaac up there on that mountain, God did not require Isaac, but God required Abraham to be willing. I wonder tonight, in our heart of hearts, I wonder tonight, would we be willing to do whatever? Mary, Jesus' mommy, said, whatsoever at the marriage of Cana in Galilee, when they ran out of wine, she said to those men, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I'm going to tell you tonight, it's a blessed place to come to. When you say, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. I'm going to tell you, Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham was willing to do that. God never tempts us to do evil. God's test is never to destroy us, but to develop us. That's seen in the light of Job. That's seen in the light of the three Hebrew children. That's seen in the light of Daniel. Beloved, listen, they didn't get delivered from the fire, but thank God they got delivered through the fire. Daniel didn't get delivered from the lions, but he got delivered through the lion's den. Amen. Actually, a den of lions. Someone said, and it's so, you can have a lion's den without a lion in it. But it was a den of lions. And the ones that accused Daniel were thrown in there the next morning. And they were hungry lions. Amen. I thought about when Brother Thurman was teaching this morning. Said he'd like to talk to Daniel about that night in the den of lions. He'd like to know a little bit more about it. I couldn't help but remember what Brother May said years ago. He said, Brother May said, old Daniel said, come here, Leo. I need a pillar. How many believes Daniel had peace? Daniel done made up his mind. They might chew me up. But when he got in there, he found out God gave him lockjaw. Amen. And he was a better man because of that experience. God's not trying to hurt us. If we could only remember that. God's trying to help us. Even Brother Lance, right now, you got two boys. You know what that third one's going to be yet? Okay. Did you say a boy? You don't know yet? Amen. I know what it's going to be. A baby. Amen. Even when God's chastening us, He's not trying to hurt us. He's trying to help us. I said that to Brother Lance because I'm sure from what I've seen of them two boys, every once in a while they get to acting like their daddy. And they need to be straightened out a little bit. Landon's on his way, brother. You ain't no use you to sit there and grin and say amen. He might be a good boy tonight. He'll be like daddy before it's over with. Amen. God is wanting us to see in the hour of temptation, there's a place where two ways meet. Never to hurt us, but to help us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I want you to think about this tonight. The Bible said, but God is faithful. How many believes that? He was faithful that first time when the two ways met. He's faithful every time when the two ways meet. You say, preacher, what do you mean faithful? God is faithful, who will with the temptation, even though God's not the one tempting us to do evil, with that temptation, God said, I'm so faithful, I'm going to make you a way to escape that you'll be able to bear it. What's that mean? That means every time we come to that place where two ways meet, every time there's a way out. We can't say, Brother Grizzle, well, he was faithful 99 times, but that 100th time, he wasn't nowhere to be found. That's not true. God is faithful. When the Bible said God is faithful, the Bible means God is faithful. He'll be there every time. Problem's not God. Problem's you. Problem's me. And there's a whole lot being blamed on the devil that needs to be blamed on the flesh. And I believe with all of my heart, what the Bible is teaching us right here tonight is that there's a place where two ways meet in the hour of temptation. A way to escape meets up with another way. Let me give it to you like this. How many remembers, it was just read recently. I'm not sure, Brother John, you may have read it in Sunday school, where Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You say, well, preacher, what are the two ways that meet in temptation? Okay, here it is. A way of escape and a way to enjoy. Somebody help me tonight. You say it can't be that simple. It is. There's a way to escape, God made. And then there's that flesh. A way to enjoy the pleasures of sin. But y'all need to remember this. We all need to remember this. It's just for a season. Sin will never be enjoyed long. As a matter of fact, I really believe God's people no longer enjoy sin. They may sin and they do sin. That's what the Bible teaches. But I tell you what, if we enjoy sin, there's a bad problem. If it doesn't grieve us that we've grieved Him, there's a bad problem. Help me tonight. The way where two ways meet. Beloved, a way of escape meets up with a way to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm just going to give one illustration. I'm going to shut down tonight. I'm not even halfway through. I'll give you this illustration. In the year that kings go forth to battle, David tarried still at Jerusalem. He's up on his rooftop. He's supposed to have a sword and a shield. He's supposed to be down there with his men. Ain't that right? He's supposed to be in the battle. By the way, beloved, that'll help you as God's people. That'll help us as God's people more than anything to be in the battle. Realize we're fighting for the souls of men. We're fighting for the souls of our children and our grandchildren. We're fighting to have a testimony in the community. We're fighting a spiritual battle, a battle with wickedness in high places, the Word of God said. But David's up there. And David, you say, preacher, I don't see how two ways meet right there. I'm going to show you real quickly. How many remembers when David sent the servant to get her? How many remembers that? How many remembers this? The servant said, it's not this Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. How many remembers that? So what was God doing? He was giving David an opportunity to take a step back. I'm going to say this. The blessed Holy Spirit is so faithful. I believe He gives us an opportunity to take a step back. Amen. Away. Take the way of escape. At least study about it a minute. But what did David do? He dove headlong. You see, the way of escape met up with the way of pleasure and sin, enjoying sin, the pleasures of sin for a season. Now let me say this tonight, and I'm going to shut down for tonight. I heard Brother Danny Sykes say this. I'm sure he heard it somewhere, read it somewhere not too long ago, but it came to my mind this afternoon as I meditated on the message tonight. Brother Danny, ain't been too long ago, he said, Brother Vinoy said, we can choose our sin. How many believes that? He said, but we cannot choose our consequences. I want you to think about that for just a minute. Even, I can't remember, and maybe some of y'all can help me, but even when David numbered the people, did God give him two or three choices? It seemed like he might have given him, it was like a plague, and was it three, Brother Rose? And what David did, he just throwed himself on the mercy of the Lord. That'd be the only indication that I can find in the Bible where a man might have a little bit of say-so. And I believe there was a plague, and there was more people that died as a result of David numbering the people than there was as a result of David being with Bathsheba and having Uriah killed. You read it in the Word of God. It's there. I'm just telling you tonight, sin has a consequence. And this place where two ways meet in the hour of temptation is an important place. We should, you know what? Here's something I believe the devil's good at. See if anybody recognizes this. Well, if you're where you ought to be with God, and you love God the way you ought to love God, you wouldn't be tempted. How many knows what I just said? I'm going to tell you something right now. The temptation in itself is not sin. If that was the case, then Jesus was a sinner. And we know better than that. The temptation in itself, a lot of people get so guilt-ridden just by the fact that they're being tempted. But we ought to understand tonight that the temptation in itself is not sin. Because at that place where two ways meet, we can choose God's way or we can choose our way. You say, how do you know God's way's there? I just told you a while ago, He always makes a way. He always makes a way. I was going up the interstate. There was a man that was meeting me in Glade Spring. We were riding together to work in Marion, Virginia. I was going up Interstate 81. And I've had Brother Brian in the car twice, and I've done it both times. I get to talking to him and fellowshipping with him. We were coming back from the airport in Knoxville. Brother Brian and Sister Kim were in the car, and I was about to blow the doors off of on 81, I was going on to Bristol. Brother Brian said, you want to get off here? I hit the brakes. We were just talking and fellowshipping, honey. I was going on up the road. And then when we went back, the same thing happened. I can't remember exactly what intersection it was. Now I'm watching the road and I'm driving, but I just wasn't paying no attention to this. I was having a good time talking to my brother, my sister, just fellowshipping in the Lord. Amen. I was riding up, me and this fellow, I was driving and was going to work in Marion. We're just talking, having a big time. And I just blew the doors off of the exit where we were supposed to get off. He looked over at me and he said, it looks to me like I'm going to have to start telling you where to get off. How many knows the Holy Spirit? Brother Gary, if we know Him and we'll walk with Him, He'll tell us where to get off, won't He, brother? He'll tell us how to get off. He'll tell us how to get out of that mess. Amen. Somebody said, well, the devil made me do it. I just want to go on record as saying, that's a lie. Amen. That is a lie. How many's glad you come tonight? If you'll come back Wednesday night, we'll go on in this thought. I'm just scratching right now. We'll get down a little bit in this place where two ways meet. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people are tied up in that place we talked about this morning and need to be free. But how many understands there's a lot of place tied up in the, a lot of people tied up in this place? I just want to say tonight, whatever it is, God can deliver us from it. God wants to deliver us from it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for our people. God, for their faithfulness. It's a holiday weekend. Here they are in the house of God. Lord, we're grateful for that. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can dedicate our lives to you. And Lord, to the place where we don't even have to pray about some things. They're just right. It's right to pray. It's right to read our Bible. It's right to be faithful to the house of God. It's right to tithe. It's right to give to missions. It's right to go out and tell others about Jesus. It's right to give out gospel tracts. Or there's some things we just don't have to pray about. You've already told us in your word what your will is concerning many things in our lives. And Lord, we can say this tonight. When a person needs to be saved, we know it's your will that they be saved. Lord, it's not your will that any should perish. And God, when God's people come to that place where two ways meet in the hour of temptation, Lord, it's your will that we take the way of escape and be able to bear it. Father, tonight I pray something's been said this day that would encourage us, would help us. God, I do believe you're dealing in hearts. I ask you to continue to do so. And Lord, help us just to realize tonight, God, that you love us. And Lord, you're not here to hurt us. You're here to help us. Help us, Lord, to face you in mercy so that we don't have to leave this world and face you in judgment. Help us, Lord. God, I pray for our country tonight. Lord, I do pray for the pastors and evangelists and missionaries across our country that are preaching the truth. God, would you bless them? Lord, I pray tonight, especially for Brother J.W., Lord, the health issues that he's having, the trials that he's going through, I pray for him, God, and ask you to lift him up. Lord, continue to strengthen Brother Brian, and Lord, I pray that you'll raise him up. Lord, his voice is good and strong, and God, you strengthen him in his body. I pray, Lord, you'd strengthen him in his spirit. Help him, Lord. Help him, Lord. Help us, our Father, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. God, thank you for our people. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for the Holy Bible. Help us, our Lord, to be holy people. Lord, you said, be ye holy, for I am holy. God, help us to get closer to you. Help us, Lord, and make us more like yourself. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name.